Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another brand new episode of the show. Today's features my buddy and returning guest, Jeff Allen. Jeff just started up a brand new podcast called Simple Mental Health, and you can follow along wherever you're getting your podcasting at. Jeff's been diving into some of the his dealings with mental health issues and breaking down stigmas and talking about all these different topics with a bunch of fantastic guests. So if this is something you're interested in, check it all out. We're going to talk all about it on today's show. And it was a lot of fun. It was great to catch up with him. We even played some live acoustic jams, some of his solo music. You know, Jeff's been on the show a couple times in bands, but now it's time to talk about some of his solo music. And as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located here in St. Louis, over in the Maplewood area. You can stop by the shop and pick up some of your favorite all-natural beard oils, beard balms. You know, it's warming up. You might want to check out their junk powder or one of my personal favorites, the Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. If you can't make it to the shop, you can shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. That's 15% off your entire order. It's a great deal. It's a great way to support the show and support local business. So get out there and pick up some beard oils today. Even if you don't have a beard, American Rambler has your back. They've got you taken care of for all your grooming needs. So check it all out for some wonderful, locally sourced, fantastic smelling products today. Also, big thanks to Heil Sound for their continued support and helping make this show sound great. Shop HeilSound.com today and pick up a brand new microphone. And if you'd like to help continue to support this show, a great way to do so would be visiting the merch store. We have an all-new merch store set up at buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast. You can pick up some of the logo shirts, some little Shaney t-shirts, tank tops. We got trucker hats, snapbacks. So check it all out. Help put a couple bucks towards this show, and it would mean the world to me. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to anybody that's already picked up those shirts. I really appreciate your support. We just passed 7 years of doing Rock Paper Podcast, so I couldn't do it without you all. Thank you for listening and continuing to support this show. If you need me, of course, you can always find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail and the socials. And with all that out of the way, sit back, relax, enjoy this brand new episode with Jeff Allen.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Jeff from Simple Mental Health Podcast, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with returning guest, Jeff Allen.
Yes.
Welcome back, man.
Thank you so much.
Been way too long.
It has been a long time. When's the last time I saw you? Maybe when I met up to get this shirt.
That sounds probably right.
My Rock Paper Podcast
t-shirt. Oh, yeah. Looking sharp.
Yes.
Yeah, man. And that was probably at least 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. So this is cool because like you've been on a couple of times in a band.
Yep.
And, but what I think is fun about this is how we met.
That's right. Yeah.
Was you playing solo acoustic.
Yep.
And, I always kind of thought it'd be fun to sit and talk to you as a solo artist. But every time we got around to it, like, well, let's do the band thing. Cause I'm in the band now.
Yep.
And we never really had this like proper one-on-one.
Right.
So I was really looking forward to this today. Like, but I was thinking about, I don't remember what year that was. It's been a long time now. We've been friends, but,
yep.
We met, you were, opening for Lincoln Durham.
Yeah.
At, Bootleg.
Yeah. I think that might've been at one of the first shows at that venue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, man.
What a cool show. And Lincoln Durham is great.
Yeah. Really a huge fan of that guy. And like, I follow, even before that, I was following him like all over. I saw him a bunch in Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying real hard to get him to come to St. Louis. Like, just hadn't happened for a long. He was like every 4 or 5 months or something or whatever it was. He was playing Columbia pretty frequently, trying to build up a following up here. And and then he finally made his way to St. Louis and played that show. He played Duck Room before and stuff. And
yeah.
But yeah, super fan of that guy. He's just like the most super chill, down to earth guy.
A sweetheart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We set up there in the green room at the Bootleg that day after before the show and recorded a podcast with him. And
nice.
And we talked about dogs and stuff. He's got a couple of rescues that he has. And
yeah.
So. I was looking forward to this for sure. Like I said, I've been wanting to do this for probably 6 years or something like that, yeah, whatever it's been.
Gosh, so. I can't believe it's been that long, but man, it sure has.
Yeah.
How long has your podcast been going now?
Well, actually May's, now here, 7 years.
So, wow. Dude.
Yeah. I started in May, 2014 with Chris. So,
this has to be the longest running podcast in St. Louis. There's no way it's not.
I don't really know of anybody that has that longevity. I know there's some Matt Bosler's, he's been doing his for a long time also.
Nice.
But I think, he doesn't have quite as much content as I do, but, he's also been doing his for a really long time. So,
yeah. And you've guys got your rivalry going. Yeah, so right. I don't want to talk about him for too long.
Sure. Yeah. So, but he makes me laugh, man. He's a funny guy. we did do some live acoustic jamming today, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, but really what I wanted to get into, besides catching up with you, cause it's like, it's been, you know, quite a while since we've seen each other. Yeah. And of course, there's been a global pandemic in there too.
That's right.
And everything else. But, you are now a, new father.
Yes, sir.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about how that's, changed your life. And
unbelievably so.
Yeah.
I mean, so my wife and I have been married for 10 years. We'll be 11 in June. And, yeah, man, we decided finally to have kids. We, you know, did everything we wanted to do, traveled, and I got to, you know, play in bands and all the kind of stuff I wanted to do. And she, you know, we finally said, all right, it's now or never. So we decided to buckle down and make that choice. So we're going to have, one child. If she says more, I'm putting my foot down. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so December 31st. So it was New Year's Eve. He showed up.
Yeah, man.
And slid right in there for the tax deductions for 2020. And it's been a trip. Life is awesome. It feels like my son, his name's Louis, feels like he's been in our lives forever. So he fits right in. And, besides the lack of sleep here and there, it's awesome.
Yeah. That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure you heard it all, prior to that, but like, I just had a buddy the other day was going on and I'm just like, I don't know. It just kind of got me kind of aggravated me. Like I'm 36.
Yeah, me too.
And, well, I'll be 36 in June, whatever, in a month. Yeah. But, he's like, you know, he's like telling me like, yeah, man, you good, you know, like if you're going to do it, like, you know, like, or something, you need to do it now. Like, or what, like, can't wait. You're going to, you know, you're not a spring chicken anymore or something like, or whatever. All the stuff he was saying, I'm like, I'm not dead. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like I'm not, it's like, you're acting like I'm some, you know, ancient, you know, old man now. And I'm like, I don't know. I was like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but like, it was terrible wording the way he was saying it. Like, and I was like, but cause like Stacy's father, was 50 when she was born.
Okay. Yeah.
He was 61 when Sean, her little brother, was born.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's possible.
That's right.
But it's not, I mean, again, it was difficult though, being like at that age, you know, like you don't, obviously you can't be as, you know, playing sports or whatever, right. You know, kind of things in the yard or doing different things. Yeah. But at the same time, I also have a buddy, Sean, whose dad was quite a bit older when we were growing up, and it helped, keep Mike young. He was out in the yard, sure. You know, so it was like he kept him more active than he probably would have if he didn't have a younger kid.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure.
So, you know, there's pros and cons to both of these things. You know, I just like, I was really kind of got me like, I'm like, dude, I'm only 35 right now. Like, it's like,
I know. I had some fears that I was maybe, I'm like, man, I'm approaching the age. Am I getting too old? And I guess I'm okay. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, man. But I'm excited for you. Really, I mean, I think that's the coolest thing, man. I'm like, that's one of my biggest goals is in life is to be a father. So I'm hoping to get there one of these days. So.
Yeah.
But what do you think's like, so he's only,
4 months old. Months, yeah. Now. Just a little over four, but
right.
Yeah. It's,
are you starting to see anything like that's, that's Jeff right there. That's
oh dude. Well, he looks exactly like me. I mean, there's no, my wife said if I wasn't there,
right.
I would think this wasn't my kid. Yeah. So he's starting to, but he's sort of now starting to come into his own where he looks more like himself. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, he's, got my gigantic head and, my just absolute, you know, amazing personality, but no, he started, you know, starting to, that personality starting to come through this, you know, the 3 and 4 month era right. area. And, man, he's just adorable. And, you know, it's one of those things it's, you can't explain. Everybody tells you, you know, your life's going to change and you won't believe just how much you love that kid right away. And they're right. Yeah. You know, but when you're hearing that advice, it's like, okay, whatever, yeah. You know, but it's true.
Yeah, man.
So,
well, very cool. I can't wait to, you know, see what happens for you guys. And like in the future with that, yeah. Like, I just think it'd be fun, you know, especially having a son to, you know, maybe play music with someday yeah. or whatever, all these little things that, you know, the dream and stuff. So
if he's into sports, I'm in big trouble. I'll be like, hey, yeah. I'll have to be calling friends to yeah. teach him how to play sports.
I got a buddy, Josh Arnold. He was a great St. Louis comic, moved on to Chicago. I think it's Chicago. He's on the Bob and Tom show, and I'm pretty sure they record nice. out of Chicago still. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when he used to watch him all the time here in St. Louis, and he had a great joke about you know, being a dad and like that he you know, kind of suck as being a dad because he doesn't know a lot of the guy stuff. If he has boys, you know, he's like, if I have girls, all I gotta do is love them, you know, like, yeah. I can you know, but he's like, if I have boys and I gotta teach him boy stuff or whatever, he's like, and he's like, you know, if he wants to play sports and, you know, he's gonna, you know, like gonna be on a baseball team, like, yeah, what's one jersey? He's like, the one out there making bracelet out of weeds,
you know. Exactly. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, the one playing air yeah. guitar in the outfield. Because yeah. my kid will be in. I was in the outfield because nobody could hit out there when we were little.
Right.
Yeah.
So it always made me laugh, man. But I don't know. I think that's just the coolest part of man. It's like, mm-hmm. especially like you're saying, as they start developing that personality and everything else, like it just. It's very exciting times, man. So yeah. I'm excited for you guys.
Thank you.
A big change, which you've been working at it for a while in a couple of various aspects, but you launched a brand new podcast.
Yes.
Which I wanted to sit and talk about with you.
Sweet.
You now host your own show called Simple Mental Health.
Mm-hmm.
And this has obviously been a big part of your life for a long time. And I think it's really cool that you are doing this and talking about it all. But you've been a part of, like I said, several podcasts over the years now. And but what kind of led you into the wanting to do your, you know, where did initially what kind of sparked the idea? Like, yeah, I need to sit down and talk about this
sure.
mental health stuff.
You know, I've always been pretty honest about my mental health and my struggles with anxiety and depression, and post on Facebook about it and just say, hey, this is what I'm going through. But, and then I always try my best to say, but there's hope, you know, and things like that, and offer hope for people who are going through their own struggles. But I was co-hosting a podcast with my friend Chris called Pondoffs Anonymous. And it was about, Chris is a recovering alcoholic, and it was about addiction and things like that. And every now and then we would talk a little bit about mental health stuff. And that's where I found that I could contribute, because I don't struggle with alcohol. I can have a drink and it's no big deal. But I definitely could relate to the depression part, to the anxiety part. And so I would occasionally speak about that. And then we got to Christmas time, and my son was born. Chris had some career change stuff, and we said, let's just do a hiatus. We'll come back sometime. We don't know when. So around that time, I was also asked to speak about my anxiety for an online speaker series, kind of like TED Talks, but a little different. It wasn't officially like a TED Talk. So I just told my story about, you know, realizing as a kid that I was anxious, but didn't know that it was an actual diagnosable thing. I said, well, I've got some time now, which I didn't, because I was a new dad, but I'm not doing the other podcast. And then I can do this one on my own time, make my own schedule. And I thought maybe I'd just do 5 episodes and talk about, you know, here's, you know, 5 episodes of people's stories with, you know, some professional like counselors or psychiatrists, psychologists. And I would just do 5 episodes. And I really wanted to break it down simple. That's why the name Simple Mental Health. I wanted people to understand what, you know, these basic depression, anxiety, things like that were. You know, some people are walking around undiagnosed. You know, 1 in 4 adults in the United States have a mental health disorder. And that's just the ones that are diagnosed. So like most people you meet have something going on, you know? And so I wanted to break it down simple, you know, as simple as this. Like when I was diagnosed, I went to my general practitioner, just my normal everyday doctor, and she was able to help me, you know? And I don't think a lot of people know that. I think most people think you need to find a counselor or a psychiatrist or a shrink or whatever, and then they will help you down that path, but you don't have to do that. And so just with that information, I said, I can start something, break it down, make it simple, 5 episodes. And if I want to come back to it, I can. And if I don't, I can just say we did 5 episodes and that's it. But we got through the 5, and now we're going to roll into a season 2, probably in this summer sometime.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been listening, and I've been enjoying the show. I like, you know, I just like you're saying, I think it's great to have these conversations. You say every episode, you're not a professional by any means,
that's
but
right.
It's good to just keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
You know, if we can just keep talking about these things, people won't be ashamed of it or
that's right.
stuff. So,
yeah, I think, and that's another goal of mine with the podcast is just to smash stigmas. I try to say that a lot, just to say these things that we made up, there's just social stigmas around mental health that for some reason we're supposed to not talk about it. I don't know why that is. It's just like anything else, any other health problem. And, you know, especially in the church, I work in a church, the church I work at, no problems about it. But early on when I was working at a different church, and I'm kind of a lifelong guy in the church, I'm a Christian, and I started talking about my mental health, and I would get some kind of nasty letters and people being really judgmental. And I'm like, no wonder people don't want to come to church, guys. You guys suck. but you know, luckily that kind of rolled off my back at the time. So, but yeah, and that's exactly what I want to fight though. I want to fight those kind of stigmas. People should not be, you know, nervous to admit they have, an anxiety disorder or they have depression or any mental health kind of thing, because one in four of us have it. So you're definitely not alone.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like I have never really spoke, to anybody professionally about it or anything. I haven't really felt, proper need yet or anything. I mean, I do have certain things I deal with sometimes, and which I like, I think, like you're saying about it, probably about everybody's gone through something.
Yeah.
But my grandfather, he bipolar, manic, depressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother had a lot of depression issues.
Yeah.
And, I always kind of, it always kind of resonates, you know, sits in the back of my mind that I'm like, maybe there's some underlining issues, for me as well. Cause I do struggle with times, especially, you know, when I was dealing, especially after my mom passed, and like,
yeah,
even dealing even for that, just like, I mean, there was a lot of days like where, you know, I just couldn't even get out of bed, you know, or whatever. It's just like, just, I don't know, man, it just weighs on you. And it's just like, I give up, I'm done today. I'm like, I can't do it. And, luckily for me, a lot of it didn't last long. And, you know, I realized I got to get my, you know, I can't just sit here like this all the time. I got to get up and do something. I got to get out of this funk. And, you know, and that was the other thing, is usually live music's my escape, and that was taken away. So like, so even after, you know, so my mom passed in December 19,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then like, so I didn't, and then I was right into a global pandemic. And, so I was just like, you know, it was really, just a rough patch there, man, for sure. So, but usually for me, I can go out to a show and I can get, you know, get out of my own head and like, and just get lost in the music for an hour and a half and stuff. And
that's it. That's important to have something that you can focus on and take your mind off of it. And I mean, there's a lot of, people who develop, you know, problems with their depression or with anxiety or with anything after trauma, experiencing loss, like you're talking about, or seeing someone, go through what your mom did. You know, I'm familiar with your story there, and, you know, I knew all about that. And so, for sure, that's going to take a toll. Yeah. And like you said, you know, you were able to get out of it as a funk. Cause that's another thing, is even if you don't have a disorder, people just in general go through times of anxiety and times of depression.
Sure.
And it might not be diagnosable, especially in the pandemic. I mean, we've had, you know, just tons of loss, people dying from, from COVID-19, but then also jobs lost, or, just feeling like you're shut in and you're not around people anymore, and, loneliness, and man, I mean, suicide rates. I don't know about, I've heard two conflicting things. I've heard suicide rates jumped. I've heard suicide rates went down. But what I do know is that, like I said, I work at a church. The pastor of my church might do a funeral for someone, who takes their life, own life once every 2 years. And he's done four this year. So, I mean, it's just a crazy year.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's tough stuff. But, but I don't know, man. I don't know that, I do. My brother, he started doing some therapy stuff, mm-hmm. and he was, especially it started because of a different circumstance, but he also started talking about mom.
Yeah.
And with his therapist, and he was like, man, I'd recommend it. Like, it really helped, you know? So, and I think that's the thing, is like, a lot of people are afraid to even, you know, again, going to the back to stigmas and things, people are afraid to to admit they need help and I'm afraid to sit and talk to somebody and you know, like, so I'm not afraid. I just, I haven't really, like, I feel like the podcast is, you know, not necessarily, again, not that it's, proper medical help,
right,
but,
yeah.
but talking about these things every day with people, with my friends and everything, constantly kind of airing it out. Like it helps, me not just bottle it up and, you know, and push it down.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, that's the whole, really, like, when you go to talk therapy, the whole thing is, I mean, they're not necessarily there to give you the answers. They're to help, you to find the answers within yourself mostly. And so if you've got that going on in your life, I mean, by all means, I think anybody can benefit from talk therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people who don't, like, I take medication for my anxiety and I do talk therapy, but I don't, I know a lot of people who don't need to take medicine, but still go and do therapy, you know, speak to a counselor. Super helpful. I mean, just, I mean, you literally just pay somebody to listen to you talk and they have to listen.
Yeah. I just make my friends do it.
I
make them come hang out with me and talk.
That's right.
But no, I do think it's great what you're doing, man, with Simple Mental Health. And again, you can find all these current episodes available wherever you're getting your podcasting at. Yeah. SimpleMentalHealth.me.
That's
the website.
Yep.
You can grab a t-shirt, a coffee mug, or whatever. You can help support the show that way.
Yeah, all those, all that stuff goes straight to helping me keep the website up. And I like to do transcriptions. I just want make I want to make it available to as many people as possible. So I, you know, pay somebody to, they have the automated ones, but I actually pay somebody to listen to it and to get it right, you know? So
I do some, like, every now and then I'll put like little teaser clips up of the show and I'll do the free app. And, it always makes me laugh with some of the stuff that, and I've had people comment like, that's not right. And I'm like, I know, but it's funny. It makes me laugh that how wrong it is.
Yes.
I'm like, so yeah, I get what you're saying, that those are not as accurate as as you would think they could be. But there was one, I can't remember what it, but it was like, it was so off that it was just hysterical that how I was like, where did that even come from?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm leaving it in. That's good. But So you've had some professionals, like you said. You've you've also had mutual friend Andre on.
Andre's a great guy, dude. Yeah,
talking about Dear Genre, his band, and he's we did one of these a long time ago. But
He's got a new, he put a new record out at the end of 2020, and you have to have him on again soon.
Yeah,
he's,
for sure.
He's a good dude.
Yeah. But I just think it's cool to have you're having a variety of guests and stuff, and it goes to show, again, like you're saying, we all sorts of people, you know, it doesn't matter what your title is, but we all have you know, some sort of issues that we can talk about and stuff. So
that's it. I mean, I encourage everybody to listen, because you know, next season I'm going to have somebody on just to talk about loving someone who deals with mental health. So, you know, how can, if I don't have any problems with my mental health, but I do, and you do, don't lie to yourself. You know somebody, like I said, that stat, 1 out of 4, you know somebody in your family, in your friend group. So we're going to talk about how to support that person, how to love on that person the best way, what to do, what not to do. You know, my favorite is, you know, can't you just snap out of it?
Sure.
Man, why didn't I think of that? I'll just snap out of it.
Yeah. I bet he almost like said the exact same words, but I think my dad, that's how my dad was approached it. And I think to my mom, and of course that led to their divorce in 2001. But yeah, he didn't understand it and didn't try to understand it, I don't think. And he just, but you know, so it was one of those, man, it was like, really, it's pretty heavy. Cause at the time, you know, of course I'm a kid. I don't realize what's going on.
Yeah.
But when my parents split and I was about 16, I think in 01, and we started to, like break out the home videos and started looking at some of those and then, you know, kind of reminiscing on the old times and stuff. And I remember like watching, like, and we went through a couple different years and you watch mom you know, whatever, when we were little bitty guys, mom comes down the stairs, it's like Christmas morning and we're all there and it's all, you know, happy. And then like you fast forward a couple of years and you watch mom come down the stairs and out the front door, and she didn't even want to like be a part of, you know, like it was just like, so you could definitely start picking up on there was tension there, and there was like, you know, she wasn't happy and she was, you know, in different things like it. So it was just kind of crazy that it was all caught on the camera and we could literally watch it happen. We didn't realize like how bad it was until you separate yourself from it and you're like, look at it there. It's like, man, well, there's the signs were there you know, it was just, but yeah, I think, you know, like I said, I don't think dad was real supportive of it, but I think that means a lot to, you know, obviously it's like, you know, but some people just don't want to accept it.
Yeah. It's really difficult. I mean, you know, my wife doesn't deal with any mental health issues at all. I mean, she has the occasional anxiety, just like everybody does, you know, everybody gets anxious about something. And I think, you know, she'll get frustrated with me. I get that. Like, why, you know, it's not logical or rational a lot of times when I feel like I'm having like an anxiety moment. I rarely call it an anxiety attack because I just don't have that same thing as other people. But all day today, randomly just anxious all day. And so once I got here tonight, I'm like, man, this is a nice break from that, you know? but yeah, it's hard to, you know, I would think it'd be really hard if you didn't deal with that to watch somebody, kind of go through something that doesn't make any sense to you. And the answer can be so clear to you, but to them it's not, and it doesn't, and it's just not going to be, you know. You know, I've often said logic is no match for my anxiety. It doesn't matter if it's logical. Right. It just is. So, and, yeah, man, it's, you know, and then there's part of us too, like once you mature into it a little bit more, owning, you know, knowing when you need to utilize the methods that you've been taught, the tools that you've been taught, breathing exercises or other things like that to curb your anxiety. Like, you know, I have medication that I am on every day, and then I have some to take as needed. And sometimes I don't take the stuff I should take as needed when I know I should. And so it's on me at that point, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of both ways, you know?
Sure.
I don't mean to say that about your folks at all. I just mean for like in general or with me and my wife, sometimes she's right. She's like, you know, you're not helping yourself and you could.
Yeah.
So I see that.
And I think it's cool. Like you're saying, having the, you know, partners, you know, and how to handle, how to help, you know, deal with, you know, how to love these people. Because like I've also often the ideas came up, which I haven't done yet, but it was a similar take on that was, I had, some friends pitch the idea of having like band wives on.
Oh yeah. You
know, like dealing with the guys in the band.
And oh stuff my
like
gosh.
That. So I was like, I don't know. I always thought it'd be kind of fun, but we just never made it happen yet. Yeah. But I was just like, when you said that, that's what, you know, triggered that memory. Like, uh-huh. Oh yeah,
that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see, Dave Grohl's mom is doing a thing where a documentary where she's interviewing moms of rock stars.
Yeah. I saw like the headline.
I think like Geddy Lee's mom from Rush is on there.
And right.
Other, I can't remember who else, but it looks like a trip. So
yeah, that I'll should have to be watch fun. That. Yeah, definitely, man. you said summer, we're looking at maybe some new episodes coming up.
Yeah, I think so. Well, season two, at least five more, maybe a few more than that even. I'm not sure. So we'll see. You know, I'm trying to get them all done before I you know, release it so that I can just schedule it and it'll just go out. Yeah. So.
And then you have a Facebook group as well.
Yeah.
That you're part of and moderate and stuff. So you mm-hmm. can, if you want to continue the conversation in there, that's a great way to do so also.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If you search Simple Mental Health on Facebook, the only thing that will probably come up is the group. And, it's a private group. So I would love to have you join, and we try to keep it positive and safe. And I think it's maybe more so than the podcast. That's been a really cool place for people to connect and to just see that they're not alone in what they're going through. And yeah, man, thanks for bringing that up. That's
I think I told you, pretty sure I did, but I also been really getting into this podcast called The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler. And Ryan's a comedian. I'm originally started listening to a lot of his stuff when he was with Jay Larson doing a show called The Crab Feast. And that was actually like that show in particular was like a huge inspiration for me wanting to do my own show. I met Jay at the Funny Bone and Jay was like, hey, check out the podcast. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I like Jay enough. And I was like, so that gave me my starting point and introduction to podcasting. Mm-hmm. And then I got hooked and and then one day my buddy Chris was like, anybody want to do a podcast? And I'm like, yeah, man, absolutely. I sounds like fun. So, so that's what, I give those guys a lot of credit for helping me inspire me to want to do this thing. So, which I got to meet them at Blueberry Hill one time and got my picture with them and told them my story. And I was around 500 episodes or something at the time. So wow. They were like, damn, man.
That's a lot.
But so anyway, they quit doing the Crab Feast and Ryan started doing this show called The Honeydew. Mm-hmm. And essentially The Honeydew because his tagline is highlighting the low lights. And he said The Honeydew is like always the fruit that nobody wants or something like that.
Oh.
That's kind of the background of that. But
yeah.
But he has a lot of different comedians on to talk about all the messed up things in their lives. And sometimes it's mental health, sometimes, different various traumas and different things that whatever they were dealing with them and certain things. And they would try to make light of it and have fun and make it, somewhat of a positive experience on there and make some laughs about it. And now that they've gotten through it and whatever their situations they were dealing with and stuff. But it's like you're saying, you're not alone. Cause like I was listening to one episode in particular, really kind of got me was they were Taylor Tomlinson came on and I believe she lost her mom pretty young and Ryan lost his dad pretty young. And so they were both swapping stories of, and it really like hit me and I'm like, it was just felt good to hear, not that I know, obviously I'm well aware that cancer takes a lot of people's parents, but at the time when you're going through it, it does feel like you're alone. You have your family and things, but it's like sometimes you just don't even want to talk to anybody about it and you just feel like you're alone in that situation. And like, so listening to that podcast and listening to them talk about their stories, like really helped me out a lot and like make me realize like there are so many that, going in the exact same situation and stuff. So, I know the stats and I know like so many are affected, but like, it's easy to just kind of get absorbed in your own world where you're like, you feel like nobody else is going through this right now, this situation or whatever. Right. So listening to those two really helped me out a lot. And kind of, so I can imagine a similar effect for those listening to your show, it's just good to keep this conversation going and talking about these things. And so,
I hope so. I've had some feedback about, people who didn't even realize that some of the things that they were experiencing every day might be anxiety or might be depression. These are signs of those things. And I don't want to, alert, at least not like false alarm people, where they're thinking, oh man, I must be depressed. That's not necessarily the case, but, sometimes people, it just ignore that stuff and push it in the back.
Right.
And if you deal with it, I find at least for me, it's a lot easier to manage. I doubt that I'll ever be cured of it, but, as long as I can manage it well enough to get by, you know what I mean? So
what do you think, what's like the biggest thing you learned so far, doing this show? Like,
oh man,
is there anything that stands out, you think?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that the first episode that I did, I had someone who, I asked a question. I'm like, why do they always say, there are a lot of different, different mental health conditions, like a lot. And anxiety and depression always go hand in hand. And I don't know why they always say anxiety and depression. I'm like, well, those are two different things. And so I said, why do they always go hand in hand? Why do people always say that? And her answer was, for people with anxiety, they get so literally exhausted from fighting with that anxiety that they also are depressed. They also slip into depression. And I'm like, man, that's so me. So every time I find myself depressed, it's always from a long season of anxiety. So that's probably the biggest thing I learned as to why. It was some insight into what was happening for me. Her name's Carrie Bach. She has a podcast too. I can't remember what it's called right now, or else I'd plug it. But so I think it's Hope for Anxiety and OCD. I think that's what it's called. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, check that out. Yeah. What would be like, what's like the biggest, goal you think you want to do with this? Is like just, continue with the interviews, or is there more of a long-term goal that you see for this, or,
Yeah, I don't really have a long-term goal, but since I've started doing this, I've hooked up with some other people who have podcasts that are not necessarily exactly the same, but similar. You know, some of them are, talking about, mental health in the music industry, or somebody's talking about mental health in the church, and some people, you know, and so if anything, I'm thinking like, how can I network with these people to where we kind of, you know, our powers combined, we're Captain Planet, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where we can really do some good because we, you know, we work together. So, but beyond that, no, it's just like a sort of just a passion project at this point.
Right.
So I'm okay with whatever happens, as long as, you know, we help one or two people, I'm down, and
yeah, man,
mission accomplished already. So yeah. We'll just keep trying to help people.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I'm with you. Like, I love doing my show, and like, I joke that I'd do it even if nobody was listening, just because I enjoy hanging out with my friends and everything. But, you know, if I can make a difference in somebody's day, one person's day or whatever. And like, I've gotten a few messages and of people and like that, you know, made an impact. And I'm like, man, it feels good, you know? And it's like, and I got a friend, Jennifer, has my logo tattooed on her arm.
I was going to bring that up, dude. Like, somebody got
stuff like that.
The logo of your podcast tattooed on their arm.
Right.
You made it.
Yeah. I was like, that stuff blows my mind, man. Like, it's just, you know, there's no words to that. It just feels good.
Yep.
That you can make that kind of an impact on somebody's life that they want to put it on their skin.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, man, I don't know. So, check out the show, simplementalhealth.me again, is the website. You can find everything there. You can grab a t-shirt like this one.
Yes. Shane's got the Believe in the Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta support the homies.
That's right. This is, we walked up and he was wearing a t-shirt from my podcast and I'm wearing the t-shirt from his. So it works out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and I don't know, just, I try to help out as much as I can. I try to buy all my friends' shirts. Like, so it's just, but yeah, I got quite a few friends that have recently bought the little Shaney t-shirts.
That's so funny.
And wearing those around and make me laugh every time I see one of those out. And so,
Man,
pretty silly, but, I'm glad to, help support a great cause, man.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Yep. Well, let's talk about some tunage, man. We played some live acoustic, this was, again, I was super excited to hang out and talk about some music. And, let's talk about an original first. This is a, Jeff Allen original called Lost in Space.
Yes, sir.
And, you were saying that you, wrote this song during the pandemic?
Just during or just before. I can't quite remember. I feel like I did get together with some friends and play it like once through with a band. So maybe it was just before the pandemic.
Okay.
But it was kind of, just a song about, you know, a lot of the songs that I tend to write, for some reason, I always put myself back in like high school. Maybe it's because I'm a huge Blink 182 fan or something. Yeah. So I always think about like, and plus I'm happily married and, you know, how many love songs can you write about your wife? So sometimes you have to go back to those previous experiences to get something that's more, you know, I don't know, a little raw, I guess, but...
Well, I can't keep a secret. Did you think I'd mean it if I said I would? I don't know the reason, but I know the season to be misunderstood. 'Cause you lift me up then tear me down. I don't know what you have found, but I know that I found you. Never really meant to go this far, but there's so much wrapped up in who we are. Let's run the other way if we can't stand. It's so hard to let go of your hand. If I get you to call me, will I skip a heartbeat, or will I be let down? Well, I'm losing my window, never had to say so, 'cause it can go to hell. You can lift me up or tear me down. I don't know what you have found, but I told you I found you. Never really meant to go this far, but there's so much wrapped up in who we are. Let's run the other way if we can't stand, but it's so hard to let go of your hand. Lift me up if I'm dreaming. Lift me up if I'm dreaming. Lift me up, I'm still dreaming. Lift me up, I'm still dreaming. Never really meant to go this far, but there's so much wrapped up in who we are. Let's run the other way if we can't stand, but it's so hard to let go of your hand. This far, but there's so much wrapped up in who we are. Let's run the other way if we can't stand, but it's so hard to let go of your hand. Imagine,
like you're saying, like it's probably a good writing tool just to kind of put yourself in these different situations and these different circumstances and things. And like you said, even if you're pretending you're still in high school or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was definitely thinking about the girl that I never, you know, the girl that we almost dated and then we didn't, you know, that kind of thing. Sure. And then another friend of mine, some of the lyrics have to do with their situation. So I don't want to give too much away about what that is, but
yeah.
I'm like, oh man, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? And I told her, she's like, oh, shut up. Yeah. So just some of the stuff about that lost love, I guess you could say that, man, it's, you know, I wish we could, I don't know why the chorus is like, I never meant to get this far. And it's true. We didn't, you know, back then I didn't really mean to get this far. And now I'm like very involved in you and you're on your way out. So, you know, that kind of stuff, broken hearted stuff and wham, wham, wham.
Is this something you're looking to do more with? Like, are you going to, is there working on an EP or anything? Or?
Yeah, I've got some. I haven't started recording anything, but when we're all comfortable, when I figure out how to do music as a dad with a kid, I've got a group of folks together that we're going to start to play some of these original songs and get out there and try to do live stuff again. You know, I don't know if we'll be a band. I don't know if they'll be my solo backing band. I don't know if I want them to be involved in it as much as they want, you know, and just have fun with it. So I think,
Cause you were doing quite a bit of original solo stuff, right? Before.
That's what I was doing before I was, in the couple bands. Like I was in like a ska punk band called Moon Bandits. And that's when I was first on your show. And then like kind of like an indie rock band called Sylvie. But before all that, I was doing sort of solo acoustic, or with a backing band of sort of singer songwriter songs with a folk country twist, you know? So, yeah.
So what happened there though? What, like, I mean, does it just motivation, just want to try something different for a while?
Or? Yeah. I think I wanted to jump into a band for a while. Yeah. And so just played bass in a couple bands, played bass in one band, played guitar in the other, sang a little bit in Sylvie, but not a ton. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man.
Yeah.
But back in, you know?
Yeah. I get like, obviously see a lot of it and throughout the music scene and people, I got, you know, friends that go, you know, bounce back and forth between like a rock band and a country band and stuff, you know, like you get motivated in certain directions sometimes and for a while, and then all of a sudden kind of gets a little stagnant and you got to shake it up a little bit. And so, they still love it all, but it's just, sometimes it gives it coming in with fresh eyes on everything and fresh ears and give it a new twist on it. So,
yeah, I mean, I wish I could do a full time. There's some people, some of your closest friends are, man, they're making a go at it, like really. And maybe I'm past that time now that I have a kid, but so I guess technically it's a hobby at this point for me. But I mean, once you are a musician and once you play, you just don't stop. I don't think
so. No, and even that, like just being a songwriter, like you're like, I feel like that's where it's at. Like if you can start writing some good songs and, you know, even just, put them up on YouTube or whatever, getting some high quality video and audio and just throw it out there. And I think you'd be surprised at like some, you know, what might happen with some of those. Like there's always people like, looking for a good song to sing and stuff.
Yeah, so. For sure. Yeah. If I ever went back towards that, like that route with sort of like the alt country, folk country, man, I'd have to get on there with the River Kittens, man. They're doing some stuff.
Sure,
man.
Yeah.
I should tell this story. I grew up a town away from, Maddie.
Okay.
And, she and I were in, she might kill me for this if she hears this. So she probably won't. She and I were in a Christian musical together. Yep. and we had to sing all these Christian songs and do these like Bible story musical, like acting out stuff. It was ridiculous. But yeah, because I live in Carrollton. That's where I grew up. She grew up near Jerseyville. And we that's how I met Maddie.
Yeah.
My mom was a teacher at her school.
All right.
Yeah. So,
yeah, she kind of got into a little bit of it. her, some of her growing up and stuff. Yeah. I don't remember how much of it was on the mics and how much was off mic, but I know we talked about her mother was a principal, I think. And she, like, you know, used to, even after school, like would sub up there at school and stuff, or do whatever, like serve lunch for the day and stuff, whatever it was. But, I think she was saying that she started singing and, like musicals and stuff. And
yeah, so she had a, what was her band? She had a band. I can't remember what it was called. Probably better off than I don't.
I just saw them Saturday and they were killing it. Like, it was sounded so good together, and they, of course, every time they do, and like Maddie and Allie, and then now they're signed Devin Allman's Create Records, and they're hitting the road with Allman Betts Band, and
they played the freaking Ryman.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah, that was like that was a cool experience, just like kind of sitting watching your friends and then talking to them about that afterwards. But I can't imagine, like, be pretty wild experience to walk on that stage. And
oh my gosh, I've toured the Ryman, as in paid to do it, right. But yeah, were they on recently on the show? I'll have to go back and listen.
Yeah,
to that
we just we talked all about the Ryman, we talked about signing with Devin, we talked about the working on recording at Sun Studios for their new EP.
I've also been there, but I paid to tour it.
But they did all. They're doing it, man. They're making they're making a run at this thing, and and then they got that cover of Atlantic City out there that they did. So, but the new EPs should be out very soon. I think the pre-save links available on Spotify now and all that stuff. So. It'll be dropping here real soon, and I'm excited to hear what they put on there. So,
I think they were one of the first to do some of the online streaming shows during the pandemic. Like, I remember immediately seeing them up.
Yeah,
and I'm like, all right, what's your Venmo? Let me hit you.
Well, helps. Maddie's boyfriend Nate's like an audio engineer.
That would definitely help.
Knows all the stuff. So, but yeah. Yep. Let's talk about another tune we did. This is a cover.
Yes.
But one of my absolute favorite songs, and I've seen you do your own take on this prior, and so I pitched the idea about doing it, and you said yeah. And so this is Alice in Chains' Nutshell, done solo acoustic by Jeff here today. And this is, man, just absolute beautiful song, like such a, you know, it's just haunting at times, you know, like the listening to Lane's vocals on there and then Jerry's harmonies and.
Self is raped.
can't be my own. I feel better dead. Ooh. Ooh. Oh. Oh.
Lane Staley is probably one of the best singers, and what a tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, I think I, that's one of those songs I think about, what a depressing song, mm-hmm. and what a song written from a place of absolute devastation and depression. Right. And, you know, Lane was just lost in his addiction. He just couldn't get out. And that's an illness, you know, it's just, he was sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking about that the other day, like, well, it came up, like, just thinking about, like, drug abuse and stuff. Obviously, we'd much rather have him and in so many of the others with us, you know, still mm-hmm. today. But it's like, I wonder how much, in the, like, that the music that was created was because of the drugs and everything mm. else, like, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
you know, obviously, we'd wouldn't trade, you know, a person for it, but it's just like, man, it's kind of weird to think about, like, cause I don't know that we would have had some of the ideas that they came up with if they weren't in that space and stuff. And
yeah.
Who knows? But I mean,
I think so much of the best art comes out of a place of despair, you know, and comedy too. I've heard so many comedians talk about that. Did you hear the episode of Stern the other day when they were talking about if Jimi Hendrix were still alive?
I don't think I heard that part. No.
And like, well, if Jimi Hendrix were still alive, would he be like on Cameo doing shout outs for your birthday and things like that?
Right.
Anyway, it was,
I don't know, man. I'm a huge fan and yeah. I know you listen a lot too. And, but there, I've been turning off a lot lately. Like I just, I don't know if it's partly to do with the whole, you know, pandemic, recordings that he's been doing, you know, but like, it just doesn't have the same feel. It's still like, there's still some good stuff and the interviews are still good. But then like I get annoyed by, King of All Blacks.
Yeah.
And I get in, like, there's so many characters on there that like are a reoccurring guest and stuff that it just, Ronnie a lot too. Like
too much Ronnie.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, there's some of those I'm just like, nah, I can't do it. I don't want to listen to that today. Like, it's just like, seems like they're repeating a lot of the same stuff over and over. And like, you know, it's like, and
I was surprised to, you know, it's always funny when someone leaves the show and then they're never spoken of again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay, so Shuley's gone, Brent's gone.
Yeah.
Why? This is a big secret.
Right.
But yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of like they're maybe Howard's too comfortable, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. But they're like I said, when he has an interview and it's great, but like the stuff when he's not, then like, I don't know, I get bored sometimes mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'll just go listen to 90s on 9 instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I usually end up listening to like Lore, the podcast Lore or something. Right. Yeah, or 90s on 9.
Or Rock Paper Podcast.
Or Rock Paper Podcast. Well, I almost played Hey Jealousy by Gin Blossoms. I was going to cover that because Shane, song. You and I went to see the Gin Blossoms together.
Yeah, man. That was a good night.
What a good show. And got to see Robin do an acoustic set at Music Record Shop and
man.
Get our pictures taken.
That was a great afternoon, man.
Yeah, the full fan experience. Yeah. It was a great show.
Yeah. Yeah, I was only thing I didn't like is like, the whole thing was great, but like, but I saw a video of like Robin on an interview or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it like literally verbatim, like that whole story, about working in a record store,
uh-huh.
like from a video like 10, 15 years ago or something like that, yeah. whatever it was originally recorded.
Yeah.
And like, and then like verbatim told the same story.
And
I was just like, man, I wonder how many times he's told that story. Like, you know, like
yeah.
the fact that he's like still has it like verbatim. So
that's so funny.
That was the only thing that kind of, so when he was telling it, I was like, I already knew exactly, uh-huh. you know, what it was
going to be. I know where this
is going. But, no, it was, that was really just, and they sounded incredible.
I know.
And,
I couldn't, I was surprised. I'm like, man, they really got it.
Yeah. And, so that was, yeah, it was a cool night, man. I'm, mm-hmm. I'm really glad we went there.
Yeah. Thanks for that invite. That was fun.
Yep. I'm excited. A lot of them are kind of coming back, man. We got a bunch of good shows, being announced, and, there's a couple of good tours coming through that I'm pretty pumped about. Blues Traveler just announced today.
Oh, nice.
In Chesterfield with JJ Gray and Mofro. So I'm definitely going to be at that one.
At the amphitheater there?
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Is it cool?
Yeah.
I've not been there yet.
It's super nice, man. Like, it's like, it's not, you know, it's kind of sort of a standard, amphitheater kind of, you know, with, the way the seats are in the mm-hmm. front there, but then like, the lawn type area
mm-hmm.
is like, so it's like a flat grass, concrete wall, like a 3 foot tall wall, concrete yeah. grass or grass, concrete wall. So it's like staggered up, okay. like that or whatever.
That's
like,
cool.
So even if you like, so if you bring a chair, you can set up in the grass or you can just like sit on the edge of the wall mm-hmm. kind of thing. So there's like a lot of options and, so I like that a lot better than just the big grass hill at Riverport and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. Have you ever been to Red Rocks?
Have not. No, that's like definitely a bucket list one.
You got to get out there.
Yeah. That's, there's been a couple that I'm like really kicked myself for not making them. I'm just like, that would have been incredible.
Yeah.
One of them being, I think it was, maybe 18 or 19, the, JJ Gray and Mofro with, Michael Franti and Spearhead out there.
Yeah.
And,
that would have been good.
Both, I love both of them bands, and Michael Franti also did like yoga or something on the on the rocks out there that morning.
Yeah,
and I was just like, man, I don't do yoga or anything, but I would definitely do that with Michael Franti, just like just to say I did.
Say
like,
he did
yeah,
it.
So
yeah, we went out a couple of years ago and saw the Head and the Heart. It was really good.
Yeah.
Man, it was so. I mean, that's like the band. That's a good band to see. In the mountains,
sure,
you know,
but that's definitely one that's on the list that I need to get to.
Yeah, it's so cool.
But yeah, that's one of my favorite things. I love just driving around the country and going to different venues, like especially like just going to see bands in spots I've never been to and stuff. Just try something different, new.
Yeah,
you know, speaking of Alice in Chains earlier, I went and saw them in Chicago mm-hmm. at the House of Blues, which was a super cool experience.
Yeah, that's a great. The House of Blues in Chicago is awesome.
Yep. I went to Nashville and I saw Rival Sons in, I think it's the Canary Ballroom, I think it's called, something like that. Or,
that sounds familiar. I don't know.
Something like that. So like it was my first time in that room, but it was a cool experience for sure. Just like, I don't know, it's just fun to, or on to see Mofro in Kansas City at Knuckleheads and like, which you, have you ever been to Knuckleheads?
Uh-uh.
That's the, that spot's insane.
I've only been to one venue in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And it was, I can't remember the name of it. It was Moon Bandits played with, when I was in Moon Bandits, we went on a 3-day tour
with Boomtown, right?
With Boomtown yeah. United and Matthias and the Pirates.
Yeah,
and right. we played some ridiculous room
right.
that was set up like a tiki bar in some bar's attic. it was such a stupid show, but it was a good time. And you know, we kicked it off at Blueberry Hill at the Duck Room.
Right.
And that was a good time and ended up at the, what's the one, what's the smaller one in Columbia?
I think it's, Rose.
Rose. That's where we ended at Rose.
Was it Mojo's in or was it,
It was brand new Rose. I think.
Yeah. So. It's all the same room, but it just rebranded everything. But
and we took turns headlining. That, you know, the three of us, and we got to headline Rose,
yeah,
which nobody turned out, but we did get the green room uh-huh. you know, with free stag. So, I feel bad.
Yeah. That's,
give my regards to Pat K. Sorry that we didn't draw.
That's a heck of a crew, though. That's a fun.
It was a fun
group to hang with.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you ever make it up to Kansas City, go to Knuckleheads. It's a really cool space. It's kind of like they have three stages now. Mm-hmm. So it used to be just like an outdoor and indoor stage. The indoor stage is like more saloon type of roadhouse feel kind of thing, or something inside kind of deal. And then outside kind of gives me like this Fast Eddie's patio type of vibe.
Nice, yeah.
It's just real big open air like kind of thing. But the way the stage is like set up, I don't know, and there's like this goofy balcony seating with like baseball seats and stuff. Like there's a lot of random weird kind of stuff, but it just gives it a lot of character and it's fun. And then after a while, they added this third stage, which is called the garage, because that's literally turned an old automotive garage into a performance space now. So
that's cool.
And first time I was in there, I saw Lucas Nelson in The Promise of the Real.
Oh, cool.
And it was I was kind of nervous. I was like, I don't really know how well it was going to sound inside of a garage, but they did a really good job. And like, in the summertime, they open up all the bay doors and stuff, and like all the air come in, and so it's really a cool setup in there, and just like a lot of, it's really well done. But
yeah,
it's fun space. But it's what's crazy is like when they have you up there, everybody's in line in the same line.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $15 tickets, and you can either go left to the one show or right to the other show.
Oh, weird.
And if you want to mix and match, you can just go back and forth.
No way.
Yeah. So it's like I'm standing in line talking to people, and I think I was going to see Mofro.
Yeah.
And people are like, I was like, oh, you guys going to see Mofro? And they're like, oh, we're going to see James McMurtry. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, I think hopefully I'm in the right line. And I'm like, now I started getting a little nervous. Maybe I was supposed to be on another
entrance. Movie theater or something.
Yeah. So, and then once I get in, like, all right, have fun. And so you can just go bounce back and forth between shows if you want. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
But they're like, separated enough and soundproofed, right? Where it's like, you don't have like, overlapping sound or anything. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I was really impressed with everything about it. Like, and it's just fun up there.
That's awesome.
So yeah. Shout out to Knuckleheads.
Yeah.
And they got like Stooges as their logos, like, which I think is fun. So
that's awesome.
I have this shirt with the Stooges on the motorcycles and stuff. But yeah. Yeah, man. Well, Jeff, this has been a lot of fun, man. Getting to hang.
Finally made it happen.
Yeah.
Six years in the making. That's crazy.
All right. So hopefully we'll have some new Jeff Allen music coming soon. Do you have any of the older tunes available?
You know, I think I have like a band camp somewhere, but I should get those demos back together or something and throw them out there. Yeah, I've got some stuff that I could put up on Spotify. Maybe I'll make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where all the kids are at now. Everybody's on Spotify now.
I'll be a SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah, there you go. Now we're talking. And got the group, the Facebook group for Simple Mental Health.
Yeah.
Do you want to? Anybody follow you anywhere else? Is there
I'm on Instagram. Jeff Allen 1 is my name on there. And that's about, yep. I mean, you had me there.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you doing this, buddy. And hopefully we won't be very long before we do it again and catch up and talk about some of this other stuff. So
that'd be awesome.
But thank you for doing this today and having me out here. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.